the Martian. You don't know. Once you assume the possibility of Martian, then you have to assume the possibility in every area.
Just a second.
And since we say like this, therefore I say to you one thing. Would you live according to those possibilities? Do you live according to those possibilities of Martians? Do you live according to those possibilities? Yes or no? What's the answer? The answer is no. Therefore, you must accept the terror. By the same rationality, by the same token, unless a guy tells me that he's going to believe in Martians, right? So therefore, everything he reads and everything he sees could be Martians, could be all complete, right? Oh, but does he assumes it's right. So he must assume this is right. For the same reason, he has to accept time machine. Same as that reason. I can't say, and that's true. And you can't say beyond any doubt that you know that this table's here either, right? You can't say beyond any doubt, right? Okay, I say the same amount of doubt. Right, that's beyond that point I can't prove to you.
Right.
Whatever it is, it's out of the realm of possibility of human life. Okay? So therefore you have to live according to the Torah. That's all I'm saying. Right? Whatever it is, it's out of the realm of possibility of human life. So therefore, insofar as human knowledge is concerned, you must accept the Torah. That's what I'm saying. Okay? Now, of course, the real answer, that's one answer. And it's an answer. I tell you it's an answer because I... Why not? The second is like this. Maimed Har Sinai does not prove, and I told you to begin with, that Maimed Har Sinai does not prove the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order for a person to attain knowledge in that area, he has to really become a Chacham in Torah and master Chachmas HaTorah and then master Chachmas HaLakos. Right? All Maimed Har Sinai is just the first step to show him that there's a basis to assume such a thing. You understand what I mean? No! So the question was... Right. Oh. So therefore I say the only answer as to the nature of HaKadosh, we know that there was a power. We know that there is a power which formed Maimed Har Sinai. Now you want to know what the nature of that power is, right?
No.
I say the only way for a person to know the nature of that power is to know the Chochmas HaLakos. So then I say this. So then why don't you say that in regard to every other thing? I think even if a person should say it's doubtful, right? Let's say, I tell you, even if a person should say, I disagree, I maintain it's totally inconsistent. But let's say a person should say that he still disregards it, right? I say one thing. I say certainly there should be enough of a basis for the guy to investigate and see the Chachmas on the course. The real ultimate knowledge of the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all through Chachmas. That's the Maimed Har Sinai. Maimed Har Sinai only shows one thing, that there is a force which... nature of that force, that a person has Chachmas HaLakos. Yes. But you know very well that the art of trickery has its limitations. And you know that this limitation is that over here you superseded your limitation. No magician could create an airplane. No magician. You understand what I mean?
Right.
Okay. Now think like this. To summarize, we intended to prove, l'chatchila, one thing, that the event of Sinai took place as if you saw it with your own eyes. That we have proven. Even your question does not interfere with that proof, correct? Therefore, I say to a person like this, before I start the proof, I say one thing to them, and this is very important. Because I told you, there's the reason why... Please, who brought you? The reason why people do not want to accept the proof is not because of an intellectual doubt, not at all. The reason is because it goes against their grain, emotions. Now I'll show you why. Because if you ask a person, you say, look, my friend, if you witnessed Maimed Har Sinai, would you deny it? They'll say no. Immediately no. We have been able to show that it is as if you have witnessed it yourself. But now the question, you're asking this question based upon even if you were there, right? Right? Okay. Now to a person who is there and says, even if I was at Maimed Har Sinai, I still would not accept the Torah, that person I say, either he is crazy or else he's a liar. One of the two. Because, one second, I'll show you why. The reason is, simply, because first of all, according to the way a person lives, based upon the way a person lives, if the person would have seen such an event, there's no question that they would have to accept it. The proof is, that the way they live their lives, the possibilities that they will give you for rejecting it, are possibilities which they themselves exclude every day in their life. You understand what I mean? Now, once you see that, so you see how come over here they want to accept this possibility, but over there they don't want to. And the answer is obviously there's an emotional reaction against it. That's why I told you to begin with. Before I started today, I told you right away. I wanted to show you what it was. And now you see how it works. You see it in action. That's the way it is. A person a person will say, will hide behind the guise of rationality. You say, oh, no, I don't want to say what's this. The truth of the matter is, you've seen him in his own life. He's excluded all those possibilities every day of his life. But when it comes to this, he's going to say no. He's going to pick up that possibility. There is, oh, yes, that's what you're saying. You're saying, that's exactly what you're saying. You're saying, over here, I'm going to accept possibilities of marshes, but when I walk down the street, I don't accept them anymore. They vanish. Right?
There's one question that somebody might ask you to present this group. They might say that we're saying that everything people believe, which masses believe, there can't be any conspiracy, so it has to be true. So they'll ask you, for instance, how come the Nazis, Yimach Shimon, their philosophy was accepted by their whole nation? So they'll say the same thing. Must be that it's true. You understand what I mean? They could ask a question like that. You understand? I'm just telling you what a possible question is. What is the answer to that? The answer is?
It's not a Machiavelli.
Exactly. When it comes to a belief, there is no question you can persuade millions of people to believe it. But you can't persuade millions of people that they've witnessed something with their senses when they haven't. That's what we say. We say you cannot persuade millions of people that they have just seen something with their senses when they haven't. But you can persuade them on ideas because they don't know how to think properly and their own emotions might want it. For instance, when Hitler tells the people, says, we are the greatest people in the world, right? We are the greatest. So naturally their emotions are in line with that. So therefore they want to accept that. You see? So they're being fooled. But he could never tell them that you have just witnessed certain physical phenomena which prove that I am supposed to be the leader of the Nazi party. That would be impossible. As a matter of fact, the biggest riot that it can't be done is the fact that the leaders, these leaders... who are eager, I mean, their whole purpose was to become accepted, right? They never were able to fabricate any of these lies. Why wouldn't a leader like Hitler say, well, you've all witnessed something, an event which occurred, you're able to see yourself, that I was pronounced by God to be the leader of Germany. You couldn't do that. Why couldn't he do that? Because nobody would accept it. You understand what I mean? No. You mean there's only one person who's able to do it, right? That's what I'm telling you. It's an impossibility for an individual to say this, because it's impossible to convince people without the phenomena actually occurring. Now, whether the phenomena can be duplicated, that I say is completely absurd. That's complete absurdity, because it's outside the realm of possibility, outside the realm of human possibility. You understand what I mean? There's two things over here. Can I get this class to believe that an event is occurring now I'm not talking about duplicating the phenomena, just to convince them. That's impossible. We see, because if it was possible, then the other leaders certainly would have employed this method, right? And since we see throughout history that, for instance, the divine rights of kings, they wanted to maintain that their rights are divine, right? In history, can any of them ever have said that you've just witnessed an event which occurred in front of all of you that proves that I have a divine right? None of them. Why couldn't they? Because so far as the senses is concerned, it's impossible to fool the people. You can only fool the people after the senses, when it comes to the area of belief. But as far as the senses are concerned, you can't fool them. I want to emphasize one thing. See, this is the thing I tried to tell you yesterday. First of all, he's right. What he's saying, I mentioned. But when we started off, I told you in the beginning. And so we are going to prove the events of Torah Mesinai just as they are depicted. That we have concluded. Okay? All right. That's what I said in the beginning when I first started. Now, I want you to understand something. This is very important. I tried to tell you yesterday. I'll tell you again. The thing is this. Insofar as human psychology is concerned, you'll find people, for instance, if you tell them the proof, so immediately they'll ask you the craziest, most remote possibilities. They'll say maybe this, maybe that, all these different possibilities. Now, when you show them in their own life that they don't live by these possibilities, which they don't, because if you live by those possibilities, you can't do anything. If you make an experiment, you'll say, well, maybe the results will close because a ghost came in just when I was there and he worked it all out. But then now, yeah, ghost, anything, any possibility. If you want to maintain that things could occur, so then you have to assume any possibility. So therefore, you'd have no knowledge of any area. Now, I say that the human mind does not accept these possibilities. Inherently, the human mind recognizes these possibilities as absurdities and outside the realm of knowledge and totally false. The only thing is this. When it comes to something like Torah Mesinai, which is something which goes against his whole nature, You understand? So therefore, he starts making those possibilities real. He himself in his own life always rejects these possibilities. He never would live according to them, never even consider them. If you describe to the person that lives that way, he would say he's insane. You'd call that person an insane person. One second, no. But you'd say it's insanity. Now, why is it when it comes to this area, immediately starts raising these questions, which he doesn't raise in the other area? I'll tell you why. The truth of the matter is that the human mind does recognize it as insanity. But the only thing is, when it comes to this area, because the human mind doesn't want to accept it, why? Not the mind, not the human mind. The human emotions, I say, don't want to accept it. Because it's a tremendous thing, it's a tremendous burden. Once you accept this, you're really locked in. And therefore, you have to really see that this is really the truth. You have to follow everything 100%. And you have no escape hatch anymore. Because if you do something wrong, you definitely are going against reality. Just like going against the reality of the physical universe, the emotions do not want to accept that. And since the emotions do not want to accept that, so therefore they'll take these absurd possibilities, these insane possibilities, and will raise them to the practical. But why? Only because of one reason, because the emotions do not wish to accept it. But the man cannot get out of one fact. Even if he does do that, I say these possibilities are insanity. But even if you should say that they're not insanity, he still can't get out of one fact, namely, that he definitely has to admit that he can't live according to that, right? And since he can't live according to that, he is bound by his very life, by the nature of his very life, he's bound by everything that's written in the Torah. Without any doubt, he's bound by it.
Okay.
Unless, one second. Unless, right, he's bound. That's why he's still bound by it. He's bound just as much, in other words, like this, just as much as he's bound by any other area of knowledge in the world. He's bound by this. Just as much. You're right, but the only thing is you could question all knowledge, right? That's true. You could question all knowledge. Beyond that point, we can't prove Torah Mishnah, because the truth of the matter is this. If a person denies the realm of knowledge, then you can't prove anything to him. That's true. But I say insofar as the realm, unless he wants to live an inconsistent life, which means he says, over here I'll accept this possibility and over here I won't, which means he denies rationality. Again, if he denies reason, then we can't prove anything to him. But I say to you this, the important thing to know is, why is it that when it comes to this area they raise these possibilities? The craziest possibilities, they'll never raise it in any other area. The answer is, because there's an emotional force. See, the Seichel HaYosher, which a person has, the Tzelem HaLakim, really, the Seichel HaYosher, which a person has, recognize these possibilities and absurdities in every area, and will never live that way. But when it comes to this area, they will try to pull these possibilities out for one reason, because they don't want to accept it, because acceptance is a tremendous burden.
Why?
Let's face it. Why it's a burden? I explained to you why it's a burden.
Oh,
very simple. Because if Columbus discovered America, it has nothing to do with me. Fine, he's a nice guy, he discovered America. Okay? But if the Torah is true, that means every word is true. Two things happen. First of all, I'm burdened to keep all the mitzvahs, number one. But I say even more. That's one big burden. That's like the guy I told you about who wanted to hear the proof. And I asked him before. I said, okay, I'll tell you the proof. But remember, if I prove it, you have to change overnight. Today, you have to become firm, keep every mitzvah in the Torah. Will you do it? I want an honest answer. The guy says no. Why? Because of the burden, tremendous burden. But I say even for a religious person, even for a firm person, it still is very difficult. Because even a firm person in the back of his mind has an escape hatch, you see? And the escape hatch is that the doubt, that little bit of doubt. And once you show him clearly, he doesn't want to see it clearly, see? That's why he'll ask the question even though it's inconsistent. He himself rejects those possibilities. But over here, he'll raise them to a level of possibility. Why? Because he doesn't want to close up the escape hatch.
How are we going to close it up? No.
The only way he can close it up is simply to recognize one thing. That insofar as reality, insofar as you are concerned, insofar as your area of knowledge, human knowledge, you must accept it as 100%. Now the question is, maybe there is that other possibility, but that possibility practically doesn't mean anything to you, right? So insofar as you're concerned, it's 100%. Do you understand what I mean?
So,
right.
So does that mean
not right? No. Don't put it that way. Not probably. Put it this way. Because just like any other area of knowledge, you have to accept this. Exactly the same way. Exactly the same way as any area of knowledge. Right. Now, if all areas of knowledge say are probably, right? Okay, that's the same amount of the thing. Exact same amount. That's the exact same amount. Well, let's put it this way. We could say is, we can't make it better than Maimon Har Sinai itself, right? A guy could walk away from Maimon Har Sinai and also raise questions, right? Even the ones with it, same thing, right? So therefore I say, that's why I say, when I say we're proving Maimon Har Sinai, we are proving it just as valid as Maimon Har Sinai itself. Now, if you're going to question me that even Maimon Har Sinai, they're crazy possibilities, right? Then I'm not talking about that. That has nothing to do with our proof. We see one thing. We see that the Torah, the demand of the Torah is insofar as you are a rational being, insofar as you're capable of perceiving things, your senses aren't failing you. You understand what I mean? And everything, you accept things according to the rules of logic which you live by.
But if you're going to take new rules now, which you never live by, crazy ideas, then in economy we can't prove it to such a person. Okay, what your mistake is also. See, your mistake is one thing. Your mistake is also based on something else. Your mistake is based on the fact that you feel that there is a weakness in this area. You understand what I mean? Once we show you that it's just like knowledge, you understand what I mean? Once you're, that's not a weakness, because that idea is just as strong as any area of knowledge in the world. Just as strong as any area, right? Bayashka. Bayeshu. Bayeshu, we said yesterday. Bayeshu. All there is belief. There is nothing to base it on. That's the pasuk. The Achsheka nochalu aveseinu. That's what the guy say. Hevel vein bamayel. Hevel means it's air. It's based on nothing. Vein bamayel means, and the principles don't help you out. It is nothing. It's based on zero, and it doesn't help you anything. Why is it based on zero? Because all these things, like for instance, they maintain the virgin. I mean, the idea, the virginity, is such a is something which definitely they have to admit can't be proven. I mean, let's face it. No one was there to see who she lived with for 9 months, right? I mean, it's crazy. They don't even maintain such a thing. Ah, so therefore, you see, all their ideas are basically just assumptions. Yeah, they're wild assumptions.
It's a miracle. Right.
There's so many Michiganers that believe it. That's the miracle. Yes. I want to clear up. There's one point that I want to clear up, not in terms of changing what we said, but in terms of adding one more thing, which I think is important. You see, the question that has been asked again and again, which I've answered, I told you the answer, the inconsistency, but one thing that bothers you is still that even though it's an inconsistency, so you say, oh, well, I have a certain element of doubt, right? Okay. It's true, but still you have to maintain a person, insofar as he has knowledge, must, by necessity, live exactly according to the Torah. That there's no escape from. Okay? No escape from. And no one can answer that. Now, there's one thing like this. Oh, well, first of all, I want to mention, what I want to mention before we say this next point is this. Insofar, one thing you have to remember, and this is very important, not just here, but in your total life, that you must have no respect for numbers of people who accept things. I mean, if Yada stands for one thing, Avram or Ivri, Kol ha'olam me'ever echad v'Avram me'ever acher. When you see the truth, that's the kayach of the Jew. The kayach of Klal Yisrael is, the kayach of the Jew, goes back to Avraham Avinu, is to see the truth, recognize it in spite of the whole world. So when you ask a question, how come in Christianity they have the Pope and this one and that one? The answer is simply, when we see the truth, we know they are wrong. Now, why they are wrong, obviously, is if you really study into the nature of their beliefs, you'll find out why they are wrong. Because they accept, they believe, they maintain that the whole thing is belief. That's what they maintain. On the contrary, they maintain that this itself is the strength. That the whole thing is to believe in spite of the fact that it's illogical. You understand what I mean? The only question you could ask them is, how do you know that? Because there's no way to know that. You understand what I mean? In other words, a person maintains that I believe, and that's really the greatest thing, is to believe, right? Question is, because God wants me to believe without knowledge, right? Then how do you know that God wants you to believe without knowledge? It's all fine, but how do you know? How do you start off? Where's the first step? But that's their premise. And we say that their premise is based on nonsense. Ah, you'll tell me there are so many of them, there's so many. Numbers don't mean anything to us. The only thing that counts to us is the truth. That's what you have to remember. This is very important. Numbers do not mean Avram or Ivri, that's the basis of Yahadis. And without that, you can't move. Okay. As a matter of fact, one psychologist mentioned, he says, how come in the last generation, he says, the biggest breakthroughs in political science and in psychology and in physics were done by Jews? You know, I mean, Marx, Freud, and Einstein, everybody mentions. Why? He says, for a simple reason. He says, because in order to make a big breakthrough, he says, and this is not a frump for psychologists, this is just a person who made an observation, it was a true observation. He says, in order to make a breakthrough, he says, a person has to have an ability to go against the entire world. He says, that's a psychological strength. He says, the one that has it is the Jew, because the Jew has always stood alone. And that ability allows him to think along certain lines, which permits him to come up with the breakthroughs, whereas the other people don't, because they don't have it. Then a guy might have a good head. A guy might have a good head. But he couldn't make the breakthrough because he doesn't have the ability to think along lines that other people aren't thinking along. That's one of the psychologists mentions this, which is a true thing. But you have to know it and you have to live by it. Yes? How do we believe that Rambam spoke with Hashem? What's the answer? Because, you see, that's what the Rambam mentions in Perek Ches. Good thing. I knew there were a lot of points I didn't cover because simply we didn't get into them. That's what the Rambam says in Perek Ches.
Maimed Har Sinai is two things. First of all, the revelation insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned. But then the question is the rest of the Torah. Okay, so Nochiyat Hashem Alekecha, I heard, right? But what about everything else that's written in the Torah? How do I know it's true? So what does it say? No? So what? But how do you know the Torah is true? What's the answer? No. That, what does the Rambam say? The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says very simply. The Pasuk says, Hinei Anochi Bo Elecha Ba'av He'onon L'ma'an Yishma'u Ha'om B'dabri Imach V'gam B'chol Ya'aminu La'olam. What does it mean? Vayaminu bar Hashem uva Moshe avdei. What does it mean? They believe in Moshe. They believe in Hashem and Moshe. You mean they believe Moshe was a god? What does it mean? Vayaminu bar Hashem uva Moshe avdei. What does it mean? Vayaminu bar Hashem. They believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only one. But Moshe avdei. They believed that Moshe, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said over to Klal Yisrael in God's name, was really from God. Because otherwise, God would never trust a person who's going to distort the truth. You understand? That's what the Rambam says in the beginning of Perek Ches. He says, She'einenu shamu, ha'koilos v'zapidim, v'ha'koil medaber v'aymer, Moshe, Moshe, leich emor lehem kach v'kach. Why is it important that they heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe, Moshe, leich emor lehem kach v'kach? L'man yishmu ha'am bedabri imach. They see that he's appointed by God. And once they know that he's appointed by God, so they know that God, a logical deduction, God is not going to trust somebody that's going to distort the Torah. So therefore, God must know Moshe Rabbeinu's nature enough to trust him. That's why I mean Hashem of Moshe Avda. Wasn't he Moshe Avda? They didn't believe in Moshe. Moshe was only human being. They believed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu teres Moshe. I mean about Hashem of Moshe Avda means they believe in the Targum Onkelos, if I remember correctly, says, Ubinevui the Moshe. The Moshe Avdei. They believed in Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. You understand? So, therefore, you know that everything that Moshe Rabbeinu recorded as Torah, Miti Agvura, from Bereshis to La'enei Kol Yisrael, is true. Now, how do I know that God spoke to Avram? What's the answer? Because it's Nevuah's Moshe. Because it's Nevuah's Moshe. That's what the Rambam says. Why do I listen to a Navi when he makes it in my face? Because Nevuah's Moshe says so. It's all one thing. It's all one thing. Divorce motion, right? From Maimed Har Sinai. From Maimed Har Sinai. You understand? It all, you have to, when you see how beautifully the Maimed, how beautifully the Kavana, the intention, the Derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to create a system that could be shown from one door to the other as the only absolute system. It's amazing. It's Mavel al Orion. I mean, the part that we understand is unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu worked out a system in which people could know in that generation, they know everything in the Torah because they see that Moshe is appointed, right? And then the future generations know because based on knowledge, they have to know in every door. It's unbelievable. It's marvel all around. It's an unbelievable thing. It means it's astounding. That's the galaxy. Yes. Only the phenomena of Sinai were a phenomena which it's a question of whether it can be interpreted or can't be done. I'm not going to that point now, but let me put it this way. The phenomena of Sinai cannot be interpreted in Derech HaTeva because an audible sound, which was so fantastic, as a matter of fact, the sound was so great that they collapsed from it. So an audible sound, which could not be humanly produced, and which verbalized intelligible commandments, that is not to be explained up with Derech HaTeva.
So the belief is not to...
And the only proof, and why is that the only proof that Moshe Rabbeinu was appointed? What's the reason? Because even if Yamsuf, whether Yamsuf or not, could be interpreted on Derech HaTeva, it's a machlokes. Happens to be a machlokes. But, the important thing is this, that Yamsuf could never be a raya for Nevuas Moshe. Why can't Yamsuf be a raya for Nevuas Moshe? A raya that's complete. Why? Because... Just because a Mephis happens, who says that Moshe Rabbeinu is appointed? Does that prove he's appointed? No! He knew somehow, whatever it is, there could be thousands of possibilities, doesn't prove that he was appointed. You understand what I mean? The only way to prove that he's appointed is if the Nes itself says that he's appointed. That was only where? Only by Maimed Har Sinai. Do you understand what I mean? By Maimed Har Sinai, the Nes itself, from the action which was out of the realm of nature, directly, inherently, that action stated that Moshe Rabbeinu is appointed. Because the voice, which was inhuman, which was produced, against the laws of nature, this voice said Moshe, Moshe. But otherwise, Yadin splits fine. Who says that Moshe Rabbeinu is a Navi? So what? The Mun comes down, so that proves Moshe Rabbeinu is a Navi. That's a Raya, he knew. He says, okay, now it's going to happen today, tomorrow, he knew what was going to happen. But that still doesn't prove that he was appointed and everything he says is true. There's only one way to know that he's true. What was the way? When the Nes itself expresses Moshe Rabbeinu. That's only by Maimon HaSinai. That's what the Rambam says. I'm not saying the main, when I say which one's the main, we're saying this too. The main thing was that there is a force which, an intelligent force which relates to man. That's the Nechad Hashem Lekecha. But then, the second thing is, how do you know what the ideas of this force are from Teres Moshe? How do you know that? From Moshe Moshe. Two halachas, there's two things over here, Maimar HaSinai. One is the Gilui Shechina itself, and secondly, that the Sefer Torah from Bereishis to Leinei Kol Yisrael is Emes. Because it wasn't trusted to Moshe, that we didn't hear the Pia Gvura. The only thing we heard the Pia Gvura was Anechi and Loyia. Some want to say all Aseres Dibros, but whatever it was. Lakovsky.
Okay.
Lakovsky, he was a physicist, and he was like, the man had a lot of knowledge. Physicist, psychoanalyst, doctor, he knew a lot of areas. He had a correspondence with Einstein for the last 18 months of his life, Einstein's life. And the man was really, he is a knowledgeable man. I want you to know one thing, that his theories are not completely against the Torah.
No,
on the contrary. Right. But the one thing that is impossible to explain is the curl. Curl produced by Hashem. That's impossible. You can't do that. Positive. It's impossible. The only thing, you see, what he tries to show is, and he really does show one important thing. One important thing he shows is, that the world was not shaped like the Darwinians maintained. That the world was not shaped like the Darwinians maintain by a slow process of evolution, but rather by cataclysmic upheavals. And he shows a lot of cases that the cataclysmic upheavals, by sudden changes. In other words, the Darwinians, the method of Darwinians is like this. They take a look at a change. Take a look at a plant. It takes, at this rate, it takes 5 days to make a certain amount of change, right? Now, therefore, they go back. They say in order for it to get to this point, it would have to take X amount of years, right? Now, they take everything to deal with it in the same way. So he says that premise is only good if there's nothing, if everything's the way you see it right now. In other words, if nothing has changed for the last X years. You understand what I mean? Definitely. He shows that on the contrary, the phenomena seem to indicate that the world was shaped by cataclysmic upheaval, in which case, the whole Darwinian idea is right. That's a very good point. There's no question that Yadis maintains that way. No question about it. That basic idea. Okay. The thing is like this. I don't believe it's a Gemara. The Rambam talks about Yeshu. The Rambam says he did nothing. The Rambam in the Geras Taimon. Just because I'll recognize that he was a Meshuggah and they killed him before. That's
what
I... No. I want you to understand one thing. Who wrote those things? Plenty of people write different things. We can't accept a thing like that. What? We can't accept a thing like that because there is no... First of all, why should we assume that a person who, as far as we know, was nothing more than a distorted mind, was able to do miracles? I mean, we have nothing... No, we don't have any... There's no valid evidence. I don't know who wrote it. A lot of people write different things. When the Ramban in the Vikuach, they quoted him in some type of medrash. Ramban says he does not accept the medrash, because he does not know whether it's an authentic medrash or not. That's number one. We have to know what we're accepting. But we know historians, there isn't one record of any historical record, which claims that he did anything. As I told you, as a matter of fact, he's not even mentioned. And the Rambam in the Geras Taimon says that mentions the type of person he was, and says Chazal recognized immediately what he wanted to do, because he wanted to be Pirek Oil HaTerah, with his own way, and the Chazal killed him, and that was it, before he even got known. That's the Rambam. There's one thing more about this. The Rambam mentions in the Mayan of Ochan. Mentions. And I'll bring it in one time. Do you have the Rambam over here? That the Shem HaMefarish is something which is a statement. It's not a name. It's not one word. It's a statement which has in it certain ideas, deep philosophical ideas about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see? He says, but when foolish people got a hold of this idea, he says they tried to say that the Shem HaFarash is something magical which you could do things with, which you could fly with, you could do this. He says this was all nonsensical. all nonsensical and shtus. He says there is nothing that could be done. The shame on farish is not a physical thing which a person could take and which he could do all kinds of tricks with. He says that's completely absurd. Okay. I'll bring in, just a second. I'll bring in the Rambam, if you want, tomorrow, about the shame on farish. But that's what I want you to understand. All these things, these stories about flying and this, this is basically nonsense. Okay. Now,
a little further. The one thing I want you to understand is like this. One thing I want you to understand is like this. Yeah. One thing I want you to understand. See, people, you have to understand that there are primitive, people have, this is what the Rambam says, we'll go through it tomorrow. People have primitive motives, which, even though Yahadis tries its best to uproot them, like the Rambam says, that the whole reason why Yahadis Asad Kishuv is because it's shtus, not because there's something there, but still people always go back to that. It's a primitive emotion. And what are they doing? They try to make it still, make it more mystical, because they believe in what they want to see is miracles. People want to see miracles. So they take an idea of Shem and Farsh and they make it into miracles. Because to them, according to their foolish mind, this is greater than the real ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greatness of the Shem and Farsh is really the true ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam mentions, he says, if you tell a person that how does a woman conceive, if you tell them there's a malach goes into the woman's stomach and the malach is as big as the world, and the malach flies from one end to the other side, it's made out of fire, and therefore the woman conceives. Totally contradictory. It's impossible. Why? Because if it's made out of fire, how come it doesn't burn her? How can it be as big as the world and be inside the womb? It's impossible. So the Rambam says, you'll find people that not only they will accept it, he says, but they'll tell you this is the godless of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. He says, but if you show them really how a woman conceives and how unbelievably fantastic HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria and worked it out in a way that the whole situation should come about of the embryo, how it first starts and how it develops with the chromosomes and all the chachma that's involved in it, he says not only will he not recognize the godless Hashem, but he'll turn away. He'll say, oh, I'm not interested in that. Why? Because people are looking for... There's a certain primitive part of man. A lot of people looking for anything. The greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is expressed on the contrary, through the Bria. Eve says, Mipsariach Zelikim. Mipsariach Zelikim. The only thing is that a person who is foolish, to him he wants to be shocked. If he's not going to be shocked, that's tremendous. But the infinite Chochmah that's in the Bria, this not only doesn't he accept it, it doesn't even faze him. So you tell him the craziest stories. This is greatness. That's a person who's a fool. That's what Ram mentions. Okay. Now, one more thing I want to add. This is very important. Namely, that when we've proven Maimed Har Sinai, I mentioned it before, but I want to get back to it again. When we've proven Maimed Har Sinai, we say just like you have to go to the doctor within your realm of knowledge, therefore you have to accept the Torah. But this is not the end of the investigation. I appreciate if you could stop there. This is not the end of the investigation. When the person knows this, you see, then the investigation first begins. When does a person really recognize the truth of the Torah? When does he recognize the truth of the Torah? When he studies the ideas of the Torah and he sees that they're true. You understand what I mean? When he studies the ideas of the Torah, when he learns Torah and he really sees and he understands that everything is true. You understand? You see what I mean? When he studies the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he understands insofar as humanly possible HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's when he really knows it. There's a difference between, I'll give you an analogy. The difference is like this. I know a man is a great doctor, right? Okay, now according to knowledge, I must accept what he tells me. That's one way of understanding. But another way is, when I take the prescription and I have knowledge of medicine, and I see how ingenious he is, I see, oh, this man really has a tremendous medical knowledge. It's really true. So when we say Torah is true, there are two levels that a person recognizes the truth of Torah. The first level is just like a person recognizes a great doctor. He doesn't know medicine. According to rationality, he says, this man must be the greatest doctor in the world. Obviously, all the people who have knowledge of medicine, they all go to him, so he's the greatest. So I must accept him as the greatest doctor. But do I really see what he's saying is true? I know it's true, but I don't really see it as being true. When do I see it as being true? When I understand medicine fully, and I really see how great he is. You understand what I mean? Like you mentioned last time, the Rambam was a great chacham. Now, people who do not know Torah, they must believe the Rambam is great. He must be a great chacham. If all the great people say that all the people in this field recognize him, he must be great. But when the person really gains knowledge of Torah, he doesn't have to believe any more the Rambam. He doesn't have to know through a secondary source that the Rambam is great. How does he know he's great? Because he sees his chacham, because he knows what chacham is. And he sees the Rambam really is great. You understand what I mean?
The same thing is true with Torah. Torah Misinai only shows you secondary. What is secondary? Secondary means I have to accept it. Anir Hashem Refecha. God is the best doctor, and whatever he tells me is the best thing for my soul. Correct? True. But do I really see how and why it's the best thing yet at that point? No. At that point, it's just like I'm going to the great physician. When do I really see that it's true? When? When I learn Torah and I understand it. Then I see it's true firsthand. Not secondhand, but firsthand. So really, Torah Misinai is secondhand knowledge, but the ultimate objective is not to remain with that. Otherwise, if that was the ultimate objective, there'd be no Mitzvah Talmud Torah. That's it. We'd stop. Torah Misinai, there'd be no Mochayiv. You know it's true. That's it. The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to remain with secondhand knowledge. Secondhand knowledge, we have to start off with secondhand knowledge. We have no choice. There's no choice but to start off with secondhand knowledge. But where does it lead to? First-hand knowledge. When is the first-hand knowledge? When a person studies the mitzvahs of the Torah, and he really sees how the system is made, and he sees how it benefits man and how it's the best life, then he sees the godless of Torah, he sees the truth, then it's first-hand knowledge. Now, Avraham Avinu never saw Torah Misinai, but Avraham Avinu was greater in Emunah than we are. Why? Because he had first-hand, you see? He didn't need Torah Misinai. Moshe Rabbeinu did not need Torah Misinai. He didn't need Maamar HaSinai for himself. L'man yishmu ha'am b'dabri ima. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need it. Why? Because pal daba boy, first-hand knowledge. First-hand. You understand? Same thing with Avraham. Same thing with the Avos. Every one of them the same thing. Now, therefore, please, boy, this is extremely important. Therefore, if a person asks, it's only second-hand knowledge, like you were asking before. I mean, it remains second. The answer is second-hand knowledge. You have to begin with second-hand knowledge. There's no other way to start because you're ignorant. How are you going to start? Second-hand knowledge. But you say, but still, I don't really know it 100%, which means it's only second-hand. Yes, I have to live that way, right? But I still don't know it 100% because it's only second-hand, right? The answer is that is only the starting point, second-hand knowledge. But where is it supposed to lead a person? To first-hand knowledge. How? When he sees every mitzvah in the Torah is true. When he studies, and after he does that, then he studies the ideas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he sees with himself why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and he understands insofar as he can about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah become first-hand knowledge. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's extremely important. Extremely important. But you have to begin which way? Would say, there's no other way. Because how is a guy going to go to medical school if he doesn't know that this school is a place which has knowledge? Has to start with secondhand. Once he goes in, he starts seeing it. Then it's first-hand knowledge. Okay? The truth of the matter is, the greater a person, the real emunah is first-hand knowledge. That's why a person who is not a chacham is lacking. Why is he lacking? Because with him, it's always secondhand. But when a person finally reaches the level where he sees it himself, first-hand, how do you reach that? Talmud Torah. That's how you reach it. The Talmud Torah. The greatest mitzvah in the Torah. If we Talmud Torah, can I get Kulam? Because through Talmud Torah, why is Talmud Torah connected Kulam? Through Talmud Torah, a person sees the whole Torah. Then his whole...
That's not first-hand
knowledge. Excuse me? That's first-hand. He sees himself. He sees it himself. That's first-hand. You understand?
When you learn Torah, you're right.
If I see a mitzvah, correct? And I understand the nature of man, and I understand how this mitzvah benefits me, and I see how it works, that's first-hand. Okay? Now, this is extremely important. Extremely important. Every mitzvah.
Definitely.
And you see how the system was created that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the system that way to lead right to the direct knowledge. Amazing. It's unbelievable. What we've done for you is one thing. We've added to you a parsha of the Torah. We added to you a parsha of the Torah. Namely, which parsha? Which parsha? No, the parsha of Navi Sheker. Now you see, now we've added the parsha of Navi Sheker. Because if a person, the Ramban, that's the Ramban. If a person doesn't see it, doesn't really see why it's so, so then he has a problem with Navi Sheker, because the Tarat Tassas, Tarat Tassas, one against the other. But once you see that it's true, then you see why Navi Sheker is true. Okay. The thing is like this, that what I wanted to add was that there is a corollary, there is a complement to the proof of Torah Misinai, a factual, historical complement. And that is as follows. That really, in a world, there are two types of religions. There is the primitive religions, and the primitive religion is, and then there's modern religion. Now, primitive religion is different because in primitive religion, you're dealing with primitive man. Now, primitive man
views the world that he lives in completely different. You see, to him, what's the difference really between the primitive man and between the modern man and his outlook on the world? The difference is that primitive man posits a certain everything he sees, he posits certain forces. But he does not see the world as in terms of scientific causality. His concept of reality is a totally different one. In primitive man, there is no real concept of reality. Reality is just a reality to him is not a sequence of causes or a system that exists, but it's everything is being done by certain forces. Everything's being done. See, rain is certain forces. They're immediately making it rain, and everything he sees, then everything that occurs is there are forces in, that he projects onto nature that these forces are responsible for every thing. He doesn't see any system of... there is no chukke teva, according to primitive man. Primitive man doesn't see any chukke teva. Okay? So the primitive religions do not require any type of corroborative evidence, simply because the primitive mind doesn't require corroborative evidence. The primitive mind is always seeing things that to him are supernatural. Actually, there is no natural primitive mind. It's only supernatural. The modern mind recognizes that there's a natural setting that we exist in. There are certain laws that work all the time. There's certain laws in nature. You recognize that there's a system, an objective system that's working. And God set up Sheshit Mei Bereishis, and he set up that way, and that's the way it goes. That's the difference basically between a modern mind and primitive mind. Now, in the primitive religion, there is no need for objective evidence. Because the primitive mind doesn't require objective evidence. That's why I have all these primitive religions that have all this nonsense. But the modern mind recognizes that there's things work by a system of causality. That's why you can't just tell them anything and they don't believe it. Because they have a framework of reality that they work with. Okay. The difference between primitive mind and modern mind, we went into more thoroughly on a certain tape, a different tape. But at any rate, this is for present. This is enough. This is the best idea. Now things like this. Just like that. Now, actually, there are two different types of religion. So there's primitive religion, which deals with the primitive mind, and then there's modern religion. What is modern religion? Modern religion is religion where a person has a reality principle. He accepts a certain reality principle has gained a certain strength. In the primitive setting, the reality principle can never really gain full strength. It always remains distorted and pushed down, suppressed. But in modern man, the reality principle exists. A person believes he creates a cause, a system of causality, and he can be involved directly in producing certain causes or effects, and he's working with a system that exists, system of causality. Now that's why, really, a modern religion requires some type of objectification. Now, the truth of the matter is that there are only four basic present-day religions. That's Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and Buddhism. Now, Buddhism really in between. Buddhism, you wouldn't call a primitive religion because it's more like a philosophy. But the notion of God is really a very vague thing, not really important. And it's a type of, what they're looking for is a type of state of the mind, which they call nirvana. And it's actually not so much as a religion as really a philosophy of attaining a certain peace of mind, you see. Not really... Well, insofar as it partakes of the old Indian religions, that's really primitive. But basically, it's either primitive or it's not a religion. All right. So that leaves only three. Now, the only category that remains is the category of modern religion. Modern religion, the difference between modern religion and between the primitive is revelation. Revelation. What is revelation? Revelation is an objective situation where something has occurred, an event has occurred, which demonstrates that there is a certain truth, demonstrates a certain truth, a certain reality. Okay? Now, there's only three religions like that. Now, we said that it's impossible to fabricate. What we said in the truth terms is that it's impossible to fabricate objective evidence. Now, I think that could be demonstrated historically. Because you see that Christianity, which actually occurred at a time when the world was looking for a religion, they were looking for religion because the primitive religions were being thrown over at that time, and a lot of people turned to Judaism at that time. So they were looking for religion. Now they invented Christianity. Now when they invented Christianity, strangely enough, they couldn't invent their own religion; they had to base it on the Torah. Similarly, Islam, which was invented by Mohammed, right? Now, Mohammed, why couldn't Mohammed say that he himself started a whole new religion? Why do you have to accept that the Torah is really true, basically at least? He said that the Jews keep it properly, but the basic thing he accepted. Why couldn't he just start his own religion? Now, let me ask you more generally. Why couldn't there be anyone in the past 3,000 years? We know that the motivation for founding religions are very great. I mean, we know very well the motivation of the people that are responsible for these religions. And certainly, even people within a specific religion will have to attribute some type of motivation to those who are outside that religion, because they have to maintain that other religion is false. And since the other religion is false, they're going to have to maintain that the person who started was just under some type of illusion or motivation. So everybody has to agree that that motivation exists in man, and if you find out that these throughout history, Shabbat Tai Tzvi and all the other, the messiahs and all these things, the powerful emotions that are behind these personality characteristics. So why is it that in 3,000 years no person has been able to invent a modern religion? Has not been able to be done. Why is that so? And we see factually it hasn't been done. Why couldn't Mohammed really start his own religion? The answer is because the modern mind that accepts causality would never base, nobody could base their religion. No modern mind could base their religion on one individual, what he says occurred. See? Mohammed would have said that I had a revelation, that's basically what he said. If he would have started with himself, that I have a totally new revelation, the modern mind immediately, which requires support from objective verification, external verification, simply wouldn't base their whole life on such a thing. So that's why, what did he have to do? He had to say, well, the revelation really occurred already. The only thing is that God told me privately that there's a change. Ah, change, but the basic structure already has been established that a modern mind can go for, you see? But to start from scratch, that they should depend totally on him, that's impossible. The mere fact that such a thing has never occurred shows that it's an impossibility. Plenty of people have tried. I mean, the divine right of kings. Kings have tried, and but they've never been able to be succeed. Why? Because the modern mind will not accept it. It requires external verification. The only ones that have succeeded are the ones that based it on Judaism. Because Judaism is the only system which has that ingredient of an objective verification. See, now they have to base it on some objective thing. So they base it on Judaism. Of course, they say there's little changes. People will buy that. Yeah, once we have the revelation, now maybe it means this way, maybe it means that way. Once their emotions are involved, so naturally they'll take that which is in line with their emotion. But the objectification is only from Judaism. And really, it's an interesting thing. That's really in the Kuzari. Why? Because the king of the Kaisers, first he asked the philosopher, then he asked the Christian, then he asked the Islamic doctor, and he said, what he said was, he says, Now I see he won't ask the Jews. So he thought the Jews are downtrodden. And he thought, since they're downtrodden, so it shows that God isn't with them. But after he asked those two, he said, now I see I have to ask the Jew. What did he mean? That's precisely what he meant. He meant that he sees that nobody, apparently there is no real modern religion which has its own basis. And look at it this way. Do you think logically that the Gentiles wanting to start their own religion are so happy to base their religion on ours? I personally think that's one of the biggest sources of anti-Semitism. The fact that they know, everybody knows down deep that they're worshipping a Jewish God. You can't deny it. As a matter of fact, Hitler wanted to do away with Christianity. He said it's the Jewish God. Yeah, but don't you think that really is? And I personally know in psychology, this is something that I mean from a psychological point of view, that there's such a thing as negation. Negation means that a person says, protests very strongly, and he says the opposite. He says something which is exactly the opposite of what he really is trying to ward off, an idea that he really protects himself against, an idea that really he's trying to ward off from realizing. So he emphatically states the opposite. That's right. The statement that we kill their God, I mean, is exactly, if you translate it to the opposite, you understand why they have to cling to that statement so emphatically. You know what I mean? There's no doubt about it. Why do you think, why? I mean, it's one of the biggest sources of trouble. The whole Torah, nothing fits in. I mean, you look at the Torah which they accept the Old Testament. You take a look at the Torah. Where does the Torah say anywhere that the Jewish nation is going to be, God's going to leave the Jewish nation? Where? On the contrary. Ni Hashem lo shalisi lo shalisi lo tamenei so lo shalisi lo to the Nevi'im, straight through. I mean, the guy has to be blind to even think that anywhere that there's any reference that God someday is going to leave the Jews and take another people, which is what they maintain. I mean, it's the greatest absurdities have to be accepted. Why do they have to involve themselves in such problems? Why can't they start their own religion? They simply start their own religion. What are you coming to us for? Start your own religion. The answer is it's impossible. It's an impossibility. It is true, there are certain cults. But there are, even in cults, there are different levels. Like, I mean, the Moonies, for instance, accept the Bible. So there's a certain amount of rationality. But, of course, there's primitive cults that exist today also. There's devil worship and other things. That's no different than any primitive religion. Yeah.